your presence overwhelm. Come restore and make us new. God, we need you to come.
Welcome to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host for the next 30 minutes as we have a conversation about faith and how to integrate our faith into the different areas of our lives. And we like to start the program with a scripture reading. I've been cycling through the Gospel of Luke. I don't want it to end, but it's coming to the end. Today our reading comes from Luke 23. It's a short passage, but it continues with our theme of face-to-face with Jesus. It goes like this. While they were nailing Jesus to the cross, he prayed over and over, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." The soldiers, after they crucified him, gambled over his clothing. It was now only midday, yet the whole world became dark for 3 hours as the light of the sun faded away. And suddenly, in the temple, the thick veil hanging in the holy place was ripped in two. Then Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Father, I surrender my spirit into your hands." And he took his last breath and died. When the Roman captain overseeing the crucifixion witnessed all that took place, he was awestruck and glorified God. Acknowledging what he had done, he said, "I have no doubt we just killed the righteous one." Again, that's Luke 23. So thank you again for joining us on this program. What we do is we share testimonies and faith journeys that are intended to encourage you if you're already a believer and challenge you a little bit if you're still checking out faith. We now have all our podcasts loaded on iTunes, and we also have a website. It's everydayfaithradio.com. We had Greg Dickerson on the radio last weekend with a powerful conversation about becoming face-to-face with Jesus. So check out that podcast if you get a chance. Please let us know if you have any prayer requests, as we'd love to pray for you. Again, this is Everyday Faith Radio. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with today's guest. Please stay with us.
And in your hour of desperation, no, you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
Welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host, and with us on the program today, we have back with us Tony Simarusti. Tony, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you, Jeff.
Tony, what we'd like to do on this program is share with our listeners what we'd like to know a little bit about you, and then what we're heading towards is how you came to know Jesus.
You bet.
So just let it go.
You bet. Thank you. I grew up in West Covina, California, East L.A. County, in a blue-collar home. My daddy drove a Weber's bread truck, and I always thought that the happy people were the successful people and the people who made a lot of money. And so I focused on being successful in sports and school, and had a successful schoolboy career that culminated playing in the state all-star game in California and wrestling in the state finals. And I headed to Harvard and captained the wrestling team and played football there, and thought that all my dreams had come true. The problem was that I had a big void inside of myself, just an emptiness. I continued to try and fill that void with success and experiences, relationships. It didn't go away. I went back to Harvard Business School and coached football and wrestling at the college, went through the business school, took a job on Wall Street. All my dreams had come true. Well, they hadn't. And I just continued to experience that void. And Blaise Pascal said that in every man that void exists, and it's a God-shaped void, and only God can fill it. And I came to realize that there was a God-shaped void in my life, that while I believed in Jesus and I believed in God, I'd never really followed God or made Jesus the center of my life, the Lord of my life. And so during my first year on Wall Street in early 1987, I surrendered my entire life to Christ, and the last 31 years have been totally different.
Wow. So one of the things that I've been studying recently is about how the human heart was sort of hotwired to have these longings. We have these longings in our heart, and we as humans look to fill the longings in different ways. We think, kind of like your story, that success is going to do it. I have this longing for success. I have this longing to be known. I have this longing to be the boss. And you get to the top of your field and, you know, listening to your story, the top of your career, couldn't go any higher academically. You had all kinds of athletic success. And yet that longing, there's this longing, there's this calling, and you find that that's not what fills it for you.
Yeah, interesting. Even before I really trusted Christ, when I was at Harvard Business School, there was a professor there a Jewish professor who was a real estate professor, and he found out I was a coach at the college, and he started calling me coach in class, and we had a nice relationship, and he asked me out to lunch one time. And he said, you know, coach, the reason why I wanted to take you to lunch is, he said, I've been very successful. I said, I know that. He was a big real estate developer. He said, all my life I thought I want to get to the top of the mountain. I want to get to the top of the mountain. And I got to the top of the mountain, he said, and I realized there was nothing there. Mm. And he said, and the joy was in the climb. Mm. He said, and I missed it. He said, I'm not sure what you're going to do, son, but I think you're going to be successful. He said, but don't miss the joy in the climb. Mm. He said, that's the yearning of the heart. Mm-hmm. And I found that to be the case, that I'd been just so looking to the top of the mountain. Each time I would find there's nothing there. Mm. I'd climb another mountain, nothing there. And that Pascal quote really hit me dead center, that there was a void inside of me. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that took it away was a relationship with God, mm-hmm. relationship with Jesus Christ, and surrendering my life to the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. That really made the difference in my life.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about this for a second, because the last couple of programs we've been speaking about being face-to-face with Jesus. In today's reading, we read about the centurion who was actually in charge of the execution of Jesus. He comes face-to-face with Jesus and has this realization. In last week's reading, we talked about in Luke 19 the story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is this tax collector. He's got all the trappings of the world. He's very successful in his trade, and he ends up face-to-face with Jesus and has this incredible transformation as a result of that, invites Jesus over to his home, has a meal with him, so forth in the story. Where I'm going with it is how I encountered Jesus face-to-face was through reading the Bible, what we refer to as the Word. And so that has been my pathway to becoming face to face with Jesus, and is what's kind of fueled my transformation. When I've listened to some of your story, it sounds like you too are also very thirsty for God's word. And what I'm getting to is, do you meet with God when you read his word or read the Bible? Is that a face to face encounter for you?
Well, it's amazing how reading God's word brings life to your faith. Mm. The Bible says about itself that the word of God is alive and it's powerful and it's able to cut right to the bone. Mm-hmm. The psalmist wrote that thy word have I hid my heart that I might not sin against thee. And another psalmist also wrote that God's word would be a light to their path and a lamp unto their feet. And I found that God's word illuminates the world. Jesus came and Jesus said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. He also said about himself that I am the Word. He referred to himself as the Word, and Jesus referred to as the Logos, the living Word. Mm-hmm. And that as we read God's Word, we meet Jesus in the Scripture. As we read the Gospels can come alive to us, and we can begin to emulate and live as Christ lived. The Apostle Paul wrote this. He wrote that, emulate me as I emulate Christ. Mm. And while I know that I have a sinful nature, the Apostle Paul knew very well that he had a sinful mm-hmm. nature. Romans 7 is all about his sin and why do I do things I shouldn't do and don't do things I ought to do. Oh, what a wretched man I am. And yet he turns around in the very next verse in chapter 8, verse 1, and he says, but there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Mm. I find that when I read God's word, I am in Christ Jesus, that I'm abiding in him. I meet Jesus there. I find God's word to be alive and powerful. And I ask the Holy Spirit to help that be the case for me. I ask the Holy Spirit to bring the scripture to light. And he has done that. I've asked the Holy Spirit to give me a hunger and a thirst to read God's word, because I didn't always hunger and thirst to read God's word. Mm. God's word seemed very stale to me at times many years ago. God's Word now is alive, it's powerful, and it's led my life.
Mm. This is Everyday Faith Radio. Jeff Gaffney, your host, and we're talking with our special guest, Tony Cimarusti. Tony's been on the program before. And Tony, as we head to the first break, I want to ask you this question. Hanging out with you, it's easy to see your passion for Jesus, your friendship with Jesus, your relationship with Jesus. What would you say to the woman or the man listening to the program today who doesn't have that?
Mm.
And yet they think they want it, but they don't. They don't have what you have. And you know, realizing for our listeners, this has been a journey of many years for you. You're well into your faith. But what would you say to any of our listeners? Just they want it, but they're not there.
Jesus said, "Those who seek me will find me." I would just pray, if I'm in your shoes, and I was, Jesus, will you make yourself real to me?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, will you follow me?
Mm-hmm.
Will I help me to follow you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what I have found is that he will make himself, he will reveal himself.
He does. He's come alive, and I just think that there's a real sense that you can't have everything and still be one thing. And as I've let go of other things, the one thing I know is that Jesus is with me, mm-hmm. and that he wants to be with me.
Mm-hmm.
And the scripture tells us that those who seek me will find me. That's what Jesus said. And there are times in my life when I find myself seeking other things, and I just really ask Jesus to retake the throne of my life and to be in the center of my life and to be in control of my life. And for those people who maybe don't know Jesus, just pray this short prayer. Jesus, I want to know you. I want to love you. I want to be with you. Will you reveal yourself to me?
Mm-hmm. This is Everyday Faith Radio, and we have Tony Cimarusti on the program. And Tony, I admire your passion for Jesus. As we head to the break here, how would people describe the Tony before you had this relationship, the difference between the old Tony and the new Tony, the Tony without Jesus and the Tony today who walks with Jesus and makes it a point of his day to spend time with Jesus? How would they describe the difference?
Well, they're very different guys, that's for sure. I'd only known the Lord a few years when I married my wife, Martha, of 29 years. But at my wedding, one of my best friends on the wrestling team from high school, Rob Toops, he asked one of my wife's friends, she asked him actually, "Rob, are you a Christian?" He said, "No." He said, "But I'm interested." And she said, "Why is that?" He said, "Because I've seen what Jesus has done for Tony."
Mm.
One of my other friends just said, "You know, you're a more peaceful guy.
Mm.
You're a more loving guy. You care about me more. And I see that and I know that." And so I guess I would say that you know, God has so changed my life, so dramatically so, that I would say to people, I wouldn't trade the best days of the first 28 years of my life for the worst days of the last 30.
That's powerful. This is Everyday Faith Radio. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more with Tony Cimarusti in just a moment. Please stay with us.
And then you're out of desperation. No, you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
Welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host, and with us on the program today is Tony Cimarusti. Tony's back with us. He's been on the program before. Very successful businessman who's in Charlottesville visiting the area. Tony, let's get into a little bit of God's Word for a moment. When you think about stories in the Bible or scripture in the Bible that has really been foundational for you, kind of what comes to mind to you for that in terms of these are my favorite promises or these are my favorite scriptures or these are my favorite stories or even favorite characters in the Bible?
Yeah. Well, I think the Apostle Paul is one of my favorite characters in almost anything he writes because he's so real about his own struggles,
mm-hmm.
about his dealing with temptation. I mean, Romans 7 is all about, "Oh, what a wretched man I am. Why do I do things I shouldn't do and do things I ought not to do?" It's the sin that lies inside of me. Mm-hmm. I can so relate to him. And yet he wrote over 60% of the scripture. And here he is talking about what a wretched man he is and how much he struggles. And yet he turns around in chapter 8, as I said earlier, in verse 1 and says, but there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. And while he calls himself a wretched man, he also says, emulate me as I emulate Christ. He's a very believable character. Mm-hmm. He had a horrible first part of his life. I mean, he was a persecutor of Christians. Mm-hmm. And yet God reached in his life and saved him. Boy, I can relate to that. Mm-hmm. I look back at my life and I look at the way I lived my life the first 28 years and I just lived for me. It was all about me and elevating Tony C. And then as Christ took front and center in my life, as I surrendered my life to Jesus, I started taking a much bigger interest in other people and in God.
Well, and the Apostle Paul certainly came, as we talk about the theme of this show, Apostle Paul certainly came face to face with Jesus and then had that radical transformation.
Yeah.
And then goes on to write in 2 Corinthians, whoever is in Christ is a new creation, almost the story of his life. Whoever is in Christ is a new creation. The old is gone, thank goodness, and the new has come. And I see perhaps that that applies in your life.
Well, I can certainly relate to that. I mean, Jesus is my way. Jesus is my truth. Jesus is my life. John 14:6, he said that he's the way, the truth, and the life. But he's become my way, my truth, my life. Truth is simply that which is. So therefore, falsehood is that which isn't. Man, I lived in a lie. I lived in falsehood for 28 years, that which isn't. And as I came to know where real life was, Christ said, I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Mm. As I started experiencing real life and abundant life, I wanted more of it. Mm-hmm. I wanted Jesus to be in the center of my life. I wanted his Holy Spirit to guide my life, to direct my life, to empower my life. And I discovered that I could do that on a day-by-day basis. And living and walking with Christ has been such a joy. I mean, Jesus is an amazing, first of all, he's historically speaking, an amazing figure. Mm-hmm. You know, I travel all around the world, and I never find anybody that doesn't want to talk about Jesus. I don't talk about Christianity. I don't talk about denominations. What I talk to people about is Jesus, and whether they're Hindus or Muslims or even Jewish people. My best friend growing up, Brett Sarnoff, what a great guy. You know, we talk about Jesus, and he has no problem talking about Jesus. He's not where I'm at right now spiritually, but he knows I love him to death, and I want him to know my Savior and my Lord, Jesus Christ. And so I really don't have a problem talking about Jesus with anyone. And so if you said, well, what's your favorite scripture? Well, my favorite scriptures are about Jesus. I wouldn't say I know him forward and backward, but I know him pretty well, and I try and live him and learn him. And stay in them all the time. No matter what I'm studying, I try and stay in the Gospels every day.
This is Everyday Faith Radio. Jeff Gaffney, your host, and we're talking with Tony Cimarusti. Tony, I want to touch on this for just a moment, see if this applies in your life. In my life, I went 40 years without reading God's Word or reading the Bible. I went to church. Felt like I knew God, but for me to really kind of get intimately acquainted with Jesus, it was through his word.
Yes.
Where I'm going with on this is when I read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it talks about the God of this world or Satan who has blinded the unbelievers to the truth. And when I look back in my life, it was sort of like this veil that was removed for me, and it needed to be removed. But the point where I'm kind of tiptoeing into is a little bit of spiritual warfare. And this is what I want to touch on, is the enemy, and as you really study God's word, they speak about Satan, the devil, the accuser. There's many different names, but the enemy is real. And for me in my life, as I look back on it, and I think for some of our listeners, one of the challenges is the enemy is going to do anything to keep you from reading his word. And for me, it was sort of that veil. Where I'm going with this is, as I tried to read the Bible, I could never get any traction. I picked it up in Genesis, and I'd go about three or four chapters, and it didn't really work for me. And then one day, I met this guy named Rob Archer, who gave me this Bible reading plan. And it was so liberating because with his Bible reading plan, it didn't just start with Genesis.
Yeah.
He paired up some New Testament chapters with some Old Testament chapters. And I didn't know you were allowed to read the Bible like that. It was sort of like my mind was locked that you had to start left to right. And so the day that Rob Archer gave me this Bible reading plan was the day the Bible really started to come alive for me. And I'm just kind of wondering what you might say to any of our listeners who maybe have the same problem that I went through or same challenge that they want to read it, but they get it's not happening.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to say three things. First, I'd like to say you're very blessed. I've known Rob Archer for years, and he's with us in the studio today, and he's just a phenomenal guy. I hope the listeners will one day have a chance to hear his voice, because he's been a great voice in my life. Secondly, I'd like to talk about God's Word in this sense, how powerful and alive it is, and how it changed my life when I started reading it, and what it says about itself, what Jesus said about God's Word. In fact, when you look at Jesus' life, his public ministry began with first fasting for 40 days and going out in the desert, and then the devil coming to him and him being tempted. Mm. And each time Jesus was tempted by the devil, he was tempted each time he responded with Scripture. Jesus said each time, "It is written, Satan. It is written." Mm-hmm. And in fact, in the last time, Satan started quoting Scripture to Jesus and saying, "Jesus," that literally, he said, "throw yourself down." He said, "For it is written." Mm-hmm. Satan said that. Mm-hmm. "For it is written that not even your foot will hit the ground." And Jesus said, "Yes, but it's also written, don't put the Lord your God to the test." Mm-hmm. So how did Jesus respond each and every time he was tempted, each and every time he struggled? "It is written, it is written, mm-hmm. it is written." Mm-hmm. If that's what Jesus did, mm-hmm. and I'm a follower of Jesus,
right,
how can I use any other tack?
Amen. Yeah. And so that's the importance of staying soaked in God's Word. Yeah. And then eventually what I can tell what you have done and what I've attempted to do,
yes,
is you end up kind of writing it on the inside of your heart.
Absolutely. I mean, it's one of the things that Ravi Zacharias taught me decades ago was that God is a very systematic God as well. And if you can get into a systematic Bible study, that will really help, because God will then know where you're going to be at on certain days and certain situations. Mm-hmm. It'll be easier for him to speak to you through the Word because he's a systematic God. Mm. So that got me oriented towards systematic ways of reading through the Bible. I've changed them year after year, but my wife and I, we both are big proponents in reading through the Bible. Mm-hmm. We believe that God's Word is alive and powerful, and we believe it changes lives.
That's awesome. This is Everyday Faith Radio, and we have Tony Simarusti as our special guest on the program today. You know, Tony, one thing as I was reading Luke's Gospel, and as I shared at the beginning of the program, we're coming to the end of Luke's Gospel. I'm at Luke 23 today, and tomorrow we finish up with Luke 24. But Luke 23, here's how I read the Bible. As I read the story, and we're into the story of the crucifixion, and right before Jesus goes to the cross, I find this fascinating. And every time I read different chapters of the Bible, it seems like something different fascinates me, but this is what I'm pondering today. Right before he goes to the cross, they're literally Roman soldiers nailing him to the cross. And what Jesus says is, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." And then I think back to previously, Jesus in one of his teachings says, "Out of the heart, the mouth speaks." So here he is being nailed to the cross. And I can imagine, these are things that I think about, Tony. I imagine that the Roman soldiers who were executioners and knew how to do this death torture down to a science, I imagine that they've heard a lot of salty language. I mean, if I was getting nailed, I think I'm not sure that's what you would hear come out of my mouth. But what comes out of Jesus' mouth is what resides in his heart. And so what pops out of his mouth during pain and agony is the offer of forgiveness. Mm. That just blows my mind when I read that. I'm like, oh my goodness. And then, of course, I asked, okay, Lord, how does that apply to me? Because I can't drive home from here, from the radio station, without getting cut off in traffic and some salty language coming out. Yeah. And Jesus is saying, forgive them, Lord, as they're nailing me to the cross. Those are just things I ponder.
Yeah, you bet. Well, Jeremiah says that the heart is wicked, that we, out of the mouth come the things of the heart. That's what Jesus said. And so, we really have to keep asking the Lord to purify our heart, to cleanse our heart, to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of our unrighteousness. It's a never ending process.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that today, that I'm just a moment away from sin. And so I just keep asking the Lord, draw me close to you. Forgive me for my sins. Forgive my sinners as people that sin against me. Mm-hmm. Help me, Lord, to be filled with love.
Well, Tony, I really want to thank you for coming on the program again. You've been, bold with your faith, and you've had an amazing impact on a lot of people in this town. A lot of people have heard you speak in small group settings, and I just want to thank you for being out there with your faith. You've been a good soldier.
Well, thank you, Jeff. Thanks for what you're doing here at the radio show, and Joe, thanks for taping.
Well, this is Everyday Faith Radio. Want to thank all of our listeners for tuning in today. And Tony Cimarusti and my good friend Rob Archer, who's here in the studio, to you, to your families, I want to say may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and bring you peace. Thanks again, and we'll see you on Everyday Faith Radio.
Yeah. Presence overwhelm, come restore and make